Right, we are just a few days out now from the Champions League final. Liverpool taking on Spurs in Madrid and hoping to win that sixth European crown. So this week we're speaking to a number of people who have been involved in some way in one of the previous five Liverpool European Cup wins. And there is one person sitting across from me in the studio this afternoon who very famously played his part in European Cup games for Liverpool. It's a warm welcome to David Fairclough.
Thank you, Matt.
Great to have you in. And the 1978 European Cup final is the one we're going back to for yourself. Liverpool's second European Cup winner, and what a night it was against Club Bruges.
It was amazing, and you know, things like that in your, that occur in your life, you don't forget very easily. So I don't need too much kind of prompting to look back on the event, because it's very, very fixed in my brain, and it's something I'll never forget. It was thrilling, you know, being at Wembley. Perhaps gave us an advantage, but also I haven't been to the final the previous year. I think also gave us a good sort of knowledge, a good advantage going into it. I think we felt we were stronger than Bruges anyway, but the know-how that we had, I think, was always going to stand us in good stead.
You mentioned there that it was at Wembley, so let's just focus on that for a moment, because getting to play in a European Cup final doesn't come along very often for many players, any players. For them to then play in a European Cup final on home soil is even better.
Yeah, in many ways I agree, and in some ways you have this idea that if you're going to play in a European Cup final, you're going to play in somewhere maybe a little bit more glamorous, if you can get more glamorous than Wembley, but like somewhere like the Bernabeu or the Nou Camp or something like that. Might have been a little bit more different for us, because we played in League Cup finals, FA Cup finals at Wembley, but the advantage it gave us was it was very much home. Granted, it wasn't a great deal of distance for the Bruges supporters, but for the Liverpool supporters, you can imagine everybody made their way to Wembley, and to see so many red scarves and banners and the support that we had that night, I mean, heavily outweighed the Belgian presence. So it felt like very much a home game.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the attendance. 92,500 there. And this was in the days when European Cup finals were attended by primarily football fans of the two clubs who were playing in it.
Yeah, that's right. And today it's a shame that corporate and marketing have taken over an event like the Champions League final. It's, as you say, it's a massive achievement for a player to get there, but it's also a massive opportunity and thrill for supporters to go. And the fact that they're so much denied the opportunity to go to these games. I mean, I was in Kiev and I spoke to a couple of people in Kiev last year, and I said, you know, you're a Liverpool fan, and one thing is, no, we said, we're involved with a certain business and one thing, and we thought it was a good idea for a weekend. And I mean, when you hear that, you think of all the people that have been let down and feel let down by not having the opportunity. So it was the old days. It was the way the proper way that things were done. And you know, I think we had about 85,000-90,000 there of our own fans. So it was really special.
Certainly was. It's Radio City Talk. You're listening to Full Time Liverpool great David Fairclough joining me in the studio this afternoon. How much can you remember of the build up to this cup final then? Because you'd been involved the year before, but you were only on the bench that night, weren't you?
Yeah, it was something I was really looking forward to. We had the advantage, really, that the season finished much closer to the European Cup final date. I think we played the weekend before. So there was no long wait like the players have had this time round. I mean, when the league programme finished 10 days or so ago, 2 weeks ago, they had a 3 week wait. And how do you fill that time? You know, it's an unusual predicament for Jürgen to manage. So so hopefully the players have been able to remain, you know, sort of, I don't know, in focus, and have that sort of momentum still within them. It's going to be an interesting element, I think, of the game, how the two teams have prepared for this final. But as I say, years ago we finished the season and it was like 4 or 5 days later we were into the European Cup final.
Did you have quite the same hype around it then as there is now?
Nowhere near. You know, it's shown all around the world now. particularly now. I think it was shown around the world then, but not quite in the same way. And certainly TV didn't kind of call the shots in that way. So I don't think we had that much commitment to fulfilling interviews, you know, all the sort of the build-up that goes with televising the Champions League final now is based along the players doing certain things. So I think we were able to do it in a much quieter fashion.
So as I've mentioned, you were on the bench against Mönchengladbach the year before. How excited were you when you found out that you were starting this one?
Well, I was hugely excited. I think I could have found out in better ways. I'll be honest. It's something that has never kind of diminished. I was disappointed the way it was handled. I'd played in the games leading up to the final in 78, the league games that was, and I finished well. I played. I scored in the last league game against West Ham of the season, and still yet there was still paper talk. Bob Paisley said he was considering what the team would be, and he had to make certain decisions. I found that sort of bad management personally, because I wanted to know that I was going to be playing for the European Cup final. And I felt I would have prepared better had I known from the... I mean, if he'd wanted to keep it a secret, then OK, tell the papers, yeah, you hadn't decided, but not to tell me. And I was always... That's always a disappointing element I've had within me, that I didn't find out I was playing the European Cup final until about an hour and a half before the game.
Really? That's... Because these days... Most teams, I think, probably find out about 24 hours beforehand what the side's going to be, don't they?
Yeah, and it was kind of... I wouldn't say it was unusual for us to do that, but league games, often the manager named the team on a Friday. He did occasionally leave it till the last minute. But for the European Cup final, for some reason, and I've looked back on it sort of within months, the interviews and things like that, and Bob Paisley's still saying, I haven't decided yet on my lineup. And as I say, I think he could have put that story over to the press, but I think behind the scenes, he could have told me and said... You know, being the one that was linked to the doubtful possibilities, he could have told me to, don't worry, you're playing, but I've got to tell them X, Y, and Z.
You end up starting though, which was brilliant for yourself and for the side as well. What was it like walking out at Wembley for a European Cup final?
It was tremendous. It's a moment in your life that you try and take in, you try and appreciate it. A friend of mine had played in an amateur cup final some years ago, and said. He said, I'll give you a tip about going to Wembley. I mean, that was the Amateur Cup final, but he was just saying, go there and enjoy and take it in. And I was very much concerned about that, of going, realising where I was, taking the atmosphere and stuff like that, rather than be phased by it. And I went in fully, fully wound up and rare and go and ready to appreciate it.
And I'm just looking at the 11 from that night. Clements in goal, back four of Neil, Thompson, Hansen and Hughes, Kennedy, Souness, McDermott and Case in midfield, and yourself and Dalglish up front. What a side.
Yeah, a tremendous side. And Alan Hansen appeared late in the equation because Tommy Smith had an accident at home which prevented him taking part in it. And out of that, Alan Hansen gets an opportunity. Emily Hughes moves to left back. Although we had to rejig it a little bit, you know, the real quality right throughout the team, and playing up front alongside Kenny was a massive highlight. It's come much better.
I'm just looking at the bench as well. Stevie Highway and Ian Callaghan on the bench. It just shows the quality that Liverpool side had, of course. So how much do you remember of the game?
I remember quite a lot. I was fortunate to see various reruns, and you know, I remember having quite a good... I had a good game. I was happy. You know, sometimes I think you can play these in these events and look back and say, I didn't do myself justice. I didn't sort of make the impact I wanted to make. But I was really happy about what I'd done, and I enjoyed playing on Wembley. I felt comfortable. I did the things that I like doing, taking on players, running in on goal. Had a couple of half chances. Was unlucky on a couple, I think. But generally, I remember quite a lot. And one of the sort of big moments I remember was towards the end of the game. I saw Ray Kennedy speak to the referee, and I went over to Ray and I just said, oh, you know what the referee say? There was kind of a lull in play, and he said 2 minutes left. And I remember thinking to myself, God, this is what, you know, that's bad news, because you could have stayed out there all night. You know, it just seemed to be lighter and brighter than anywhere. You just seemed to be in the most perfect of places. I don't think we were ever under any threat. I know we only won 1-0, but there were a number of dubious offside calls. And I think on another night we had beaten Bruges quite comfortably, but we were in control that night. And I say I was sick to find that it was only had 2 minutes to go.
It's Radio City Talk, Liverpool great David Fairclough in the studio with me this afternoon. Were there any nerves at all?
I don't think so. I think by that time we'd experienced different things. We were going through a great period. Mm. We'd won the UEFA Cup 76, won the European Cup 77. So, granted, there were three or four who hadn't played in the European Cup final before, but still in all, I think the expertise and the know-how that we'd achieved over those previous 2 years or so, I think there was an inner confidence, not a sort of an overconfidence, but a confidence that we knew how we would approach it, and if we played well enough and did the things that we were good at, then we would win.
It's 0-0 at half time. What does Bob Paisley say to you at the break?
Team talks were never really that sort of analytical about what you'd done. It was a case of okay, you've done all right, you're not going to break through, just keep doing what you're doing and carry on. There's nothing like, you know, they do in modern days and analyse certain areas of weakness in the opposition or where you yourselves are having particular joy. I think that the overall feeling was we'd put them under enough pressure. We hadn't had much of a goal threat at the other end, so we were very much in control, and it was just a case of wearing them down, and ultimately the chance would come.
And then just after the hour mark, that chance does come. Kenny Dalglish burying it from a Graeme Souness pass.
Yeah, it came. It's kind of a scrappy goal in some ways, because they had the opportunity to clear, and they didn't clear as well as they probably should have done. Falls to Graeme, and Graeme was cute as anybody. Slides the pass down the side, and then Kenny's able to chip it over the outcoming goalkeeper. Myself and Ray Kennedy chased in at the far post, just in case it came back off the post, but it went in, and from that point on, I think that the confidence sort of grew. And I think we were unlucky on a number of occasions. The goalkeeper was a genuine and good goalkeeper, Birger Jensen. We'd played against him a couple of years earlier, so he was a talented goalkeeper. And for most part, I thought he really kept them in it.
What was it like at the final whistle then? I know you've said that you never wanted the match to end, but what was going through your head? Can you remember?
Yeah, achievement. You know, you're part of something special. It's fantastic to win something like the European Cup the first time round, but to go and defend titles, I mean, it's been said many times down the years, it's difficult to defend because everybody sees you as the team that they want to knock off the top. And we were a massive name in Europe, and so everybody wanted our scalp. So to be part of the team that defended the European Cup, and you know, we begin to carve our names very much in history. Not many teams do, you know, achieve that. And it was great to be a part of it, you know, lots of hugs and, you know, great relief and just a massive achievement.
How much did winning the European Cup win then compared to winning the Premier League, the First Division title then?
Well, sadly, we were, I shouldn't say sadly, but we were getting used to winning the league. Mm. The league wasn't the problem, because we'd won the league in 76, we won the league in 77. 78, we ran Forest close, but the league, it was kind of like the same old, same old,
yeah.
With all due respect to the league. But to win the European Cup, they always had a little bit of special about European competitions, because we had a different type of attention from the press. You know, the media didn't have the same demands on the players in the old days. So by the time when European games came round, the media interest was different, and it was a little bit more exciting, and the players liked to have that sort of involvement and you know, sort of having conversations with, you know, a different type of journalist or reporter.
What were the celebrations like afterwards?
Fantastic. We learned from the mistakes of the year previous, when the fans found out where the after-match banquet was in Rome, and we were overtaken by supporters on that night in Rome. It was an incredible night, but unfortunately the players weren't able to enjoy it as much, because the room was just full of Liverpool supporters. It was like the match, actually. So the following year we learned from it. It was a much more private affair. And we were able to enjoy it with our family and, you know, wives, girlfriends, and it was good. It was heavy. There was some very blurry eyes the next morning.
I was going to say, can you remember much of it?
I remember it being very dark. I remember one or two things. I remember the latter part of it, of sort of going to bed, but it was very, very late. And the next morning was a case of we all sort of appearing in dribs and drabs. Everybody was very, very much under the weather. I mean, a lot of players these days don't drink and one thing or another, but in that day and age, we did celebrate. There's no doubt about that. And then we came home to the bus tour and we went round the city. It was an incredible 48 hours.
It must have been a remarkable achievement as well to defend the European Cup, having won it the year before. Your route to the final, Dynamo Dresden, Benfica and then Borussia Mönchengladbach, and then that 1-0 win over Club Bruges in the final as well. David, great memories. Thank you so much for your time this afternoon as well.
Thank you.